You're listening to listener-supported WUXD Studios. Everybody, you're listening to Diagram. This is your host, Jonathan Bowman, and today we're going to be talking with Juan Magid. Now, I'm very excited to talk with him because if you know me, you know that I talk about Sketch to React every now and then. And guess what? Juan is the co-founder, so he's going to talk to us about Sketch to React and two new products that he and his co-founder put out. Don't go anywhere. Grab your Moleskine. Go grab a coffee. And we'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Juan. Juan, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Nice to be here.
Juan, I know you because of Sketch to React, and we talk on Slack a lot. But for the audience's sake, do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. My name is Juan, and I work as, you could say, a senior designer. I've been doing design work for a very long time, so I'm really old, 46. I started as a graphic designer with print a lot of years ago and studied editorial design. And then I just started experimenting with web design for almost 20 years ago. And I'm here today because of a lot of things, but I'm also co-founder of Sketch to React, and we have a couple of apps that basically are designed to code solutions.
Right, you're talking about Stratos components and Stratos tokens. I do want to talk about those, but I'm really interested in Sketch to React because just coming up with the idea must have been an incredible on-taking. Can you tell us a story of how you came up with Sketch to React?
Sure. The thing was, me and Frederick, we are Team Sketch React together. I'm the designer and he is the developer. But I mean, in a way, we do this together. So it's like we started working together. We work for the same consultant company here in Sweden. It's a big Norwegian company. and we were assigned to the same client. So after about, I think it was almost 1 year working together, we started to like questioning how we went about working. I was using Sketch and I did my things there. And then I just, you know, sent it out via Zeppelin, was the preferred tool for us. And then he remade everything in code. So we started like thinking you should be able to do more inside of your design tool. And this was, of course, I was using Sketch and Fredrik was building everything with React. So it became very natural to try to make a bridge between these two things. We started looking at, I think I sent him an article from Medium about some experiments being done by Airbnb. And he started to like, they had done the opposite thing from React to Sketch. But so it was like, okay, how does this make sense to a designer? So it was like, okay, I try to input my thinking into how would I like to have this? And then basically just a couple of days later, he just showed me, and we had, from the beginning, it was actually a web application. So it was really a magical moment when you dragged the whole entire Sketch file onto your web browser and it transformed it into like code. So it was, that was like, and we showed this internally to a couple of people, and we all always got this like wow feeling, and it was I think that like, okay, this is, we are onto something here. So we just started building from that point, and it was like just actually always trying to do more inside of a design tool for me, because I always had also struggled with like learning how to code. So this was, for me, was a way to try to I don't know, be more useful, I think, as a designer, and help my developers much, much more. I wasn't satisfied with like just handing them over like static design files, you know, with specs, yes, but I felt that you should be able to do more. It took us like, I mean, it's called, it's named Sketch to React, but it took us like one full year to reach React, true React export. We got sidetracked, tracked, because I was like thinking about how this was useful to me. And actually just being able to build HTML prototypes I was fine with that. It was like, I just wanted to try out things that I couldn't do because I didn't know how to hand code things. Just to be able to do that from Sketch was really magical, you know, and like this feeling of like, wow, I have some static layers here, but in this app I can like make them move and try animations and stuff like that. So that gave us a lot of energy seeing this, like this reaction from people.
Right. And speaking of that, what kind of feedback are you getting from the people that are using it today?
It's really interesting. Good question, because I mean, we are always trying to sample like what people think. We do not have any tracking inside the app at all. So I mean, we don't know actually how many people use it. We do know how many people download, like sign up for it on our website. Since about like half year now, it has been totally free. So we can see like, okay, there's a couple of people there. I think we get a lot of attention from Google searches. So when people search for Sketch to React, and then like the normal spelling of it, T-O, we still are like, and this is totally, it's bonkers, because we are the number one search result for that search term. And we have been for over 1 year. So it's like, and this is just us doing this and writing articles and tutorials. I mean, we have never paid a cent for like a paid search and stuff like that. So it's totally organic. So we can see that there are between 2,000 and 3,000 people like each month that find us. So, I mean, there is a huge interest, but I think like we're trying to do with our Slack community, like trying to, the whole thinking about that was like, okay, we invite people that use Sketch to React and also have found our other apps to try to like talk around our products, because it's really difficult to actually know what people think about it.
Okay, so you're using Slack then to get a lot of good feedback, which is cool. Speaking of Slack, can anyone join that Slack channel?
Yes, exactly. It has been like that from the very beginning. It's open to anybody. You can join, but we have it in our footer on each page on our website. It says just join our Slack. Anybody can come in there and just ask questions. I mean, it's you know, for us, it's a way of connecting with our with the people using it and try to like learn from you guys, because it's like we have always, this is how we have developed this from the very beginning, since this is like it is still for us a side project. We work with this on the side of everything else, and it's like if we don't get user input, it's we don't go forward. You know, we can go like guessing, we can guesswork about this, but it's always when we have like talk to people, designers and developers, that like all these things has actually happened inside the apps. So all the progression has been done from user input actually. So then of course, I mean, it's been a lot of Fredrik's thinking about stuff and a lot of my ideas also. So, but always when we have like got like this invaluable feedback from users, it's like, it actually it is what makes us continue doing this, because it gives us a lot of energy to just make things even better all the time.
Okay, so I have a big question, kind of an elephant in the room question, but I'll leave it. We'll get to it in a second. But just for those who want to hop on Slack and talk to Fredrik and Juan, go to their website at sketch2react.io. The word two is actually the number two, so it's sketch2react.io. And if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see a pink link that says join our Slack with a cute little emoji. And just click that, join the Slack, and then you can talk to Fredrik or Juan about Sketch2React or any of the other products that they made and get a hold of them there. So now back to the big question. We've been talking about Sketch2React and all the work that you guys put into it, but why is Sketch2React free?
We are actually making this into a company at last, actually, like still doing this as a side thing, but so we can actually start doing this, like selling licenses and doing it the proper way, you know. So it's finally happening, you know. So, but I think we will keep trying to support like having Sketch to React for Sketch for free as long as we can, you know. I mean, the problem arises when like Sketch updates and they do a lot of things in the background. Since we read the Sketch file in real time, if they change something, and they have done that like a couple of like 10 versions or something like that, it creates a lot of problems for us, and we need to like update the app, and of course that takes time.
Right.
So yeah, I think it will be a balance of the things that we can put time into developing, I think.
Cool. And the things you've been developing, there's actually two products that you guys have just put out, you and Fredrik. Can you tell us about those other products?
We have one that is called Stratos Components, and then we have one that is called Stratos Tokens. So from the beginning, we had one, and we had like, it was like the version 2 of Sketch to React. So it was like Fredrik really took his like big brain and thought that, okay, how can we actually make this even better, you know? So I can quickly explain the difference between Sketch to React and Stratos Components. It's like Sketch to React exports, you build like React prototypes inside of Sketch, and then you export to React code or HTML code. But the thing is, you get, it's like a project, like a website project. So you get the whole package. So he started thinking like, okay, I'm a developer. I would like to, if people are going to sit there designing things inside of Sketch, how would I want it as a developer, like to actually take this even further? So he thought about something called style components. And I'm not super great with code. I have learned a lot since meeting him and doing all of these things together. But style components are like, in a way, it's like you have the CSS built into each component. So they are, you can actually share those components. Say that you create a button and you style it in a way. And then that one is when you follow our, we have rules, like framework rules, and that is true for all of our apps. So you need to name things in Sketch accordingly, and then you get out a code output. So the difference was in Stratos components, you get actual real like style components that you can share via NPM, for example. So you could actually build like all of your components from Sketch and then export this via NPM to your developers, which is really a really cool thing, actually. So that was like the components part of Sketch React in a version 2. Then we also talked to a couple of developers and they started talking about, yeah, but I would like my designer to like just set up the theming inside of Sketch and just like the structure of my theme and be able to update that. I don't want them to be poking around and creating components. They can create like control certain things, and that's what we thought about. Okay, but that you can do that with design tokens. So like, okay, how do we add design tokens? We did that, and actually the way that you work with design tokens is so different from how you actually work with the components from Sketch that we thought that this is going to be so confusing. We need to actually separate these two things. So that's why we have two apps, Stratos apps, one for tokens and one for components, because they actually require different kind of thinkings in a way.
Okay, so it sounds like you're describing global CSS. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You could put it like that. Yeah. Actually, the cool thing about tokens is that it can control anything. So even if you can set it up so that, for example, we have something called Style Dictionary. That is something from Amazon Design, I think. It's like a translator in a way that translates design tokens. Basically, design tokens is just JSON data. And that data is then translated into like Swift values, like Android, and also SCSS. So if you set things up correctly, you can actually control at the same time, you can control things for iOS, for Android, and for the web with the same like file in a way, which is, it's amazing actually. Yeah.
Oh, that's more than amazing. That's absolutely nuts. I mean, what you're describing is what everybody wants. You can change something in one place and it controls your iOS app, your Android app, and even the web app. Is that right?
Exactly. So it requires a lot of, the thing is, it requires you to think, first of all, it requires you to like, you really need, in the beginning, you need to set it up with your developer, you know, so like, okay, how, because the how you name things inside of Sketch. And we have one other thing with tokens is that we also have it, it works also with Figma files and InVision Studio files. So it's like this, this is the first time that we actually have something that is outside Sketch. And for us, that is also a huge thing to just actually, it makes sense to like support something that is not only Sketch. Tokens is really, for us, I see tokens like the most, right now, the most important app we have in a way, because it's the the broadest one, and the one that actually for a designer makes a lot of sense, like learning and owning the design tokens as a designer is a huge thing, you know. Normally this has been owned by developers, but we found that talking to actual developers that like they were really annoyed about the fact that we designers, we are complaining about like, okay, that gray thing there is not the right value, you know. It's the wrong value in the web app, and it's not like the one in the iOS app. So stuff like that is like we got that feedback that please build something that actually makes the designer own these things, you know. So it's like they can
Right.
blame us in a way. So that when it doesn't work,
Right.
it's our fault.
Yeah. And it looks like what it's doing is it's actually keeping things very safe or relatively safe, because the alternative would be that I would go into the code directly, edit the code, and me as a designer, I may not really understand what I'm touching or what the ramifications are. And then, a couple of days later, someone realizes that I really mucked something up or messed something up down the line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So these tokens keep you kind of safe, essentially.
Exactly. I think that is exactly a good point there. So I think from both like the designer's perspective, because we of course we don't want to mess it up. You know, we don't want to mess up the code, and developers can say that can stay safe in that. Okay, these design token files here control these things, and it's actually very easy to like revert things, you know. Once you have actually set everything up, it's just a matter of like updating inside of Sketch Figma or Studio, for example, and you get new token code, and it's up to the developer to actually update that one or not, you know. So we think it's a great middle way in a way for designers to get into more code, I think.
Yeah, and speaking of code, you just use npm to update. So that makes it really simple.
Exactly. So you just export once again, and you call that one version 2 or something like that, and then that is also the thing that is so cool that okay, your developing team will get the prompt like boom, now there's a new version. Jonathan sent me the new tokens, like, you know, and it's like they just download it, install in their projects, and it updates everywhere. That it's really powerful.
Yes, and a lot of stuff. You've got Sketchy React, Stratos tokens, Stratos components. That's a lot. But I have to ask, because you guys are doing this as a side gig, what else do you got going on? Are you guys also developing anything else?
As you can imagine, since we do this maybe like we work with this 8 to 10 hours a week, something like that, both of us. And unfortunately I can't code, so it's poor Frederick that does all the heavy lifting, you know, actually. So it's like I think and we do these things in like increments, you could say. It's like right now Stardust Tokens is getting a lot of attention. Because we are getting attention from the community about it. It's really cool to see people that are finding us right now for the first time. But we have not abandoned the components, the part of it, since that is actually, I mean, when it's finished, it's going to be really, I mean, it's amazing actually what you can do with it. And Sketch to React, I've been nagging Frederick about doing a little update on it also. It needs some love, you know, like some caring from us. Every time I use it, I actually, it's like I get amazed of the things that you can do with it, you know. So I mean, it's like it is limited in some ways because we don't have like all the components that you would want to have, you know, like if you would have like this framework that. Okay, I can build things from Sketch and get them into React. There are so many components that we would need to to add by ourselves. That's why we started using started developing components, Stratos components, since it made more sense doing this as style components. But even though there is, you have like all these limits, there's also a lot of things that you can do with it that actually you can't do with any other tool out there. So that's, I think that's why people still keep using it, you know. And it's really difficult to compete with something that is free.
Oh yeah, you're not going to compete with it when it's free. So I understand that. I want to switch gears a little and talk about you and Frederick. You mentioned that you met at work. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. He had been on paternal leave, and this was his first like assignment after that. And I was this was my first big client at this company that basically we are IT consultants. You know, we work for this consultant company that, and then a big this is a big Swedish bank and insurance company called Länsförsäkringar, and we met there at this doing this. We just got assigned to the same project, and it was like started working together side by side. So it took us a while to like I have been thinking about it. It's like we talk a lot to each other, you know. We talked, I mean, of course, about the things we were doing, but it began like he is also very curious, like I am, you know, and also like reads a lot. And it's like I read a lot of articles and books and stuff like that. And in a way, it was like starting to connecting those famous dots, you know, like, okay, wait a minute. I showed him this and he started translating that into something else. So that it's really cool when these thing happen, you know, when you're like you're different as people, but you in a way you go towards the same goal, you know. It's like this is how we work with design to code is actually really stupid, you know. It's like we could do so much more. No, but it's like it's so limited, you know, how it used to be. So it started like in a for us like all these ideas trying to like, okay, we have the sketch, and this is I'm going to give this is a big credit to the makers of Sketch. Like they opened up the Sketch file format a couple of years ago, and that is if it weren't for that, we would not have been doing these things because it made us read the sketch, like the file format, in a way that we could actually transform things into code, you know. It's not easy to do it, but if you dig enough into the format, you find everything. Like, okay, those are rectangles, you know. Okay, if we translate them to that, then this comes out, you know. So yeah, so that's in a way. I think in a way that you know, Figma is like really, really popular. I mean, you can read sketch files really well into Figma. I think in a way they I think maybe they opened it up too much, you know. If you're talking like business intelligence, like I know I think I know why they did it, because they wanted to create this big environment of like third-party plugins and stuff like that, and I think they grew a lot because of that. But it is almost as it is too easy to read the file format, you know. It's like they are not Adobe, thank God, you know. Like Adobe file formats are impossible to read. We have tried to read XD files. It's impossible. So you need to like build plugins for doing stuff like that inside XD.
Yeah, but it's good that you guys figured out how to integrate with Figma. That's pretty cool. Hey, I got a question because I'm sure the audience might want to know. Your name is Juan, but you're from Sweden, so that's not a traditional Swedish name. Are you originally from Sweden?
No, I'm from Argentina actually. I was born in Buenos Aires. My background as coming here to Sweden for when I was very, very young, I didn't know the language. I mean, my first language was Spanish. No one that I knew back then, knew Spanish. I mean, I was in kindergarten, and you know, I remember this weird feeling of not understanding. You know, like people talked Swedish, but I was like, it was like blah blah blah. I didn't understand what they were saying, and I can remember like a great pain in not understanding. And I think that has triggered like inside of me this like I get like allergic when not understanding things. So for me, like learning, like teaching how to use things has been something really important for me all my life, you know.
Right, and that explains why you have over 100 Medium articles you've written on how to use Sketch React, all of your tutorials that you've done, which are really awesome. So that's great. Tell us a little bit about who inspired you.
And do you know Pablo Stanley?
Pablo? Yeah, I know Pablo.
He was a great inspiration for me. And also Meng Tu, the guy from Design to Code.
Yep, I know Ming. I also know
Those
him.
two guys were a really, like, for me, like, they are my heroes, because it was like they really, I tuned in into this joy of like teaching and like building things, you know, and just sharing it. So I was like, okay, there are a lot of people doing this, but I'm not doing this, you know. So in a way, it was like I had this thing inside of me that needed to come out. And thankfully, I met Frederick, because he knows how to code, and I know other things. So it was a great combination.
Yeah, it's always good to have that balance with a engineer friend. Hey, let's switch topics a little. Let's talk about where you got your start in design. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
I started like an intern, actually, at it was like a print shop in a way. It was just a print shop, and actually, this was like mid-90s, and I started learning like PageMaker. Do you remember PageMaker? Do you
Yeah.
Adobe PageMaker? Yeah, awful, but it was the shit back then. Sorry, it was the thing back then. So I was like standing behind the guy who was like the art director there, and I was like, what is he doing here? Okay, this looks interesting. So I started like that. And then I took
Amazing.
after 5 years of that, I was like, I need to evolve. So I went to a great school here in Stockholm. Like it's more like it's like a creative school for like with a lot of business mindsets. And it was like I did 1 year there, and it was like editorial design, a lot of typography. It was amazing. So that was a great year for like learning new things and getting inspired.
Absolutely. You always want to keep learning. And a little bit offline, we had a chat, and I want to tell the listeners something pretty cool. When Juan was 10, this all started. He started thinking about becoming a designer, what occupation he wanted to have, what career path he wanted to have. So I have a question. What would you tell that 10-year-old today about design? Any advice to that 10-year-old?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say like don't take yourself too serious, you know, and just have fun, you know. That has been like the thing for me all these years. Like I always try to have fun when I'm working, you know. I always try to put input things that makes it more a bit more delightful for myself, actually, you know. Like I learn new things, like it can be anything, like doing an SVG animations. Like, how the heck do I learn that? And that's for myself. And then I realized this would be awesome in our product here now, at least this web app that I'm developing for the client, you know. So I always try to you need to find the like the joy of creating things, you know, and not get too serious all the time, you know.
That's good. Don't take yourself too seriously. And speaking of fun, I really love music. I'm a big fan of music. So I want to know what other designers and engineers listen to. Have you been listening to any new music lately?
Good question. I listen to a lot of music. I was listening to I like a lot of electronic music. And I just and also like old school hip hop. I really like. They released like the 25-year-old anniversary of Mobb Deep's album yesterday. And I've been listening a lot to that one. I listened to it a lot when I was studying in a small little town in Sweden. I was like isolated in this little town, and I had this a German friend. He was like a German hip hopper, and he introduced me to Mobb Deep, and it was like. You must imagine how it is. Like this is like during the winter here. It's dark, and it's like really cold. And I was like listening to this like hip hop from like New York, I think Queensbridge something. And I I don't know. It just struck a chord with me, you know, with like being isolated and like feeling, yeah, just weird. So that's what I've been listening to.
It sounds good. I actually checked them out, Mobb Deep. I found them on Spotify. They just released an album, looks like the 25th anniversary expanded edition called The Infamous. So I'll put a link on the show notes so you guys can check it out. Now, how about books? Any books you've been reading lately?
Yeah, I really like this Japanese author Haruki Murakami. He's one of my favorite authors. He has this. It's three books that are called 1Q84, and I have read a lot of books from him. He's really he gets like it's it, his books always. They start fairly normal, you know, and then things start derailing like in this weird, cool way. It's really difficult to explain. It's like a bit. He is a bit like Paul Auster in a way, but he's Japanese.
That's cool. I looked that up too. IQ84, the novel by Haruki Murakami. It seems like very dystopian. So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. I'm going to be jamming to some hip hop and quarantined, reading about weird quarantine stuff. But seriously, if people are listening now, they have probably compiled this idea of who you are, which is a Argentinian expat now living in Sweden who listens to 90s hip hop and reads Japanese novels, which is cool because you're very cultured and I love that. But one thing I remember when I was talking to a friend who worked in Sweden was he would always say, "Hey, do you want to go get fika?" He would come and grab me and say, "Dude, let's go get fika." And I had no clue what he was talking about, but I would say, "Yeah, let's go do it." And it ended up being coffee, but I don't have the extensive understanding of it like you would. So for our audience's sake, do you mind explaining fika and telling us what it's all about? Because it's very interesting if you ask me.
Yeah, fika is like a religion, you know. It's actually a short word for like just taking a coffee break or tea break, you know. And very important also to eat something like that is actually not healthy. So fika is like you go to the coffee machine, you take some coffee or tea, and then maybe you have some gingerbread cookies or something, you know, or someone is celebrating something. This was like pre-corona days, of course. It's not like this anymore, you know, but you can do fika yourself. You take your favorite beverage and then you sit together with your coworkers and just talk, you know, and just like take a break. So it's like, and it is, I have realized now when we are working from home, everybody like, I don't know if you work from home, but I do that. And my wife is also working from home. So it's like everybody's working from home. And it's like I really miss those fika moments, you know, because it's not the same thing, you know, when you're like remote working all day, you know. So fika is like a cultural pause, you know. It's like, and it's a lot of things actually are. It's like the best way of like just connecting with people, you know. That you, it may be people that you don't even work with. So it's and people in Sweden love their fika. Very important.
Yes, it is. It's super important to have a balance. and have some time set aside to relax. I adopted the fika culture here. I know we do it all the time on my team around 2 o'clock. It's a great way to break up your day and get energized for the next half. And that about does it for time. Juan, I cannot stress enough how awesome it was to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's awesome, awesome that you are a fan of Sketch to React, you know, and I really appreciate all of your enthusiasm. And sometimes it feels like it's only you and me and Frederick there, you know, on our Slack. Now it's a bit more people there, but and it's been like in like periods, you know. So I really appreciate your support, man, for sure. I say
Totally.
from the heart. Yeah.
Well, that wraps it up for today, everybody. I cannot believe we had Juan Magid on the show. He is amazing. Him and Frederick are going places. They're doing a lot of amazing things for the design world. As you can see, they've been super busy and they're already integrating with things like Figma. So if you want to get a hold of them, go find them. I'll leave all the links in the show notes. Go check them out. Join their Slack so it's not just me, Frederick, and Juan. And hey, send us an emoji. Tell us what you think about the product. Have a nice day. Talk to you guys later.